ever feel like you're facing a mountain of information, but the insights you really need are buried deep within.
Drowning in data, right?
Exactly. Well, today we're diving into a toolkit designed to be your, let's say, excavation crew for that data.
Okay.
We're talking about Trove, a system built to efficiently handle and experiment with the kind of data that powers what are called dense retrieval models.
Right. Dense
I
retrieval.
think of it as giving your data a turbo boost for finding the really relevant stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, for those tuning in who might be wondering, dense retrieval is, at its core, it's a way to pinpoint the most pertinent information within vast amounts of text.
Not just keywords.
No, not just keywords, but by understanding the underlying meaning, it's about finding answers that are like semantically similar to your question, even if the exact words don't match.
Okay.
And Trove is designed to make working with the data for these, well, pretty powerful systems much smoother.
And that's our mission today,
Yeah.
to really understand how Trove helps you manage and, play around with data from all your sources, research articles, your personal notes, whatever you've got,
All sorts of stuff.
to train these dense retrieval systems and see how well they actually work. The big win here is about saving a ton of time and making your experiments much more reliable so you can actually build on what you learn.
Which is so important because honestly, one of the major roadblocks in this area is just the sheer complexity of getting your data ready, especially for multiple experiments.
Yeah, I can
You
imagine.
can quickly find yourself lost in a jungle of different data files and pre-processing steps. Trove aims to bring some order to that chaos.
Okay, so Trove promises to help us cut through the data jungle. What are some of the key tools in this toolkit then? I'm seeing things like flexible data handling, efficient memory use, and the ability to work with all sorts of different file types.
Precisely. So the central concept in Trove's data handling is something called materialized cUL.
Materialized cURL.
Okay. Yeah. Think of it less as directly holding all your data in memory and more like a super organized index system.
Right.
You keep track of your queries, the documents that might be relevant to them, and importantly, how relevant they are. What's really clever is that it mainly uses IDs, you know, unique labels for each query and document. And this is where the memory efficiency really comes in, because it only loads the actual text data from disk when it absolutely needs to, using a technique called memory mapping.
Memory mapping,
So it's
okay.
like having a detailed map of your data rather than trying to cram the entire landscape into your head or your RAM at once.
So instead of loading every single article and query into memory, materialized cURL is like a librarian who knows exactly where every book
Yeah,
is
a good analogy.
and only pulls out the ones we need when we need them. That makes sense for saving resources. Now,
Yeah.
how do we actually create this librarian?
Well, you don't directly create the librarian, the materialized cURL instance itself. Instead, you give Trove the instructions on how to build it using something called materialized cURL, a core fig.
Right, the config.
Exactly. This is where you tell Trove the locations of your document collection, your corpus, your questions, which are your queries, and the information about which documents are relevant to which questions.
The
The
CRLs.
CRLs, yeah, or relevance annotations. These configurations are pretty flexible and can handle standard formats like JSON for your texts and queries and TSV for your relevance scores.
Okay.
You can even point it to multiple files like lists of paths, and Trove will intelligently combine them based on your configuration.
So it's all about setting up the instructions. Now, the outline mentions two main types of data sets that Trove can create based on these configurations: multi-level data set and binary data set. What's the difference there? How do they organize the data?
Good question. So the multi-level data set is what you'll typically use when you have different shades of relevance.
Shades of relevance.
Yeah, like imagine rating a document on a scale of 0 to 3, where 3 is highly relevant and 0 is not relevant at all.
Okay, graded labels.
Exactly. This type of data set is crucial not just for training models that can understand these finer-grained distinctions, but also for accurately evaluating how well your models are doing.
Right, for evaluation.
Plus, it's used for preparing data for encoding and for a technique called hard negative mining, which helps improve model training quite a bit. So when you pull a piece of training data from a multi-level data set, you'll typically get your question, a list of potentially related passages, and then a corresponding list of those multi-level relevant scores.
Makes sense.
And for evaluation, It can output the relevance info in a structured format like a nested dictionary that's readily compatible with standard IR evaluation tools.
Okay, so multi-level data set is for when we need to understand the degree of relevance and for thorough evaluation. What about the binary data set? When would we use that one?
Right, the binary data set is simpler. It's designed for situations where you basically only care whether something is relevant or not, a yes or no.
Just positive, negative.
Exactly. And if you're using Trove's built-in info and sloss function for training your dense retrieval model, you must use a binary data set.
Ah, okay. A requirement for that loss function.
Correct. What's interesting is how it handles your relevance labels internally. Any positive label in your original curl file is treated as a 1, meaning relevant.
Uh-huh.
And any non-positive label, like 0 or maybe even negative scores, if you had them, is treated as a 0, not relevant.
Automatically.
Yep, automatically. Regardless of the actual scores in your annotation file, during training, it then samples 1 relevant document and a set number of non-relevant documents for each query.
Got it. Binary for yes-no relevance, especially with that info and slice loss, and multi-level for more nuanced understanding and detailed evaluation.
You got it.
Now, it sounds like once we've got our data configured, Trove offers a lot of power to actually process that data. Filtering, transformation, selection, these sound like they could be real time savers.
Absolutely. The materialized curl config object provides, well, a wealth of options for shaping your data before it even becomes a dataset instance.
Perfect.
Let's start with filtering. You can filter individual query document score combinations, those triplets, based on the relevance score itself.
Like, just keep the good ones.
Yeah, exactly. Or just the bad ones. If you only want to look at the negative examples for a particular analysis, you can set a maximum score, say 0.
Right.
Or, if you're only interested in the definitely relevant ones, you can set a minimum score, maybe 2 or 3, if you have multi-level scores.
Okay.
And you can even define your own custom rules for filtering using a Python function.
Sure.
This function gets the query ID, document ID, and score for each triplet.
Oh, wow. So you could do complex logic.
Totally. Maybe you only want to keep examples where the document ID has a specific prefix, or where the score is above a certain threshold, and the query ID belongs to a specific set you care about.
That level of targeted filtering sounds incredibly useful. Especially for focusing on specific types of data or maybe cleaning up noisy annotations.
Exactly.
What about filtering groups of results for a single query? That sounds even more sophisticated.
Yeah, sometimes you need to look at all the judgments for one query together. For instance, you might want to keep only the top 10 most relevant documents for each query.
Like for a ranking task.
Precisely. Or maybe the 5 least relevant ones. Perhaps for hard negative mining. Trove has built-in options for this, like group top, group bottom, and even group random.
Okay, convenient presets.
But the real power, again, comes from the ability to define your own custom function, group filter fin. This function looks at all the triplets associated with a single query and decides which ones to keep based on your logic.
So you can do something really specific.
Yeah, imagine wanting to keep, say, the single highest scoring document and the 3 lowest scoring documents for every single question in your data set. You can absolutely do that with a custom group filter.
Wow, that's incredibly granular control. Okay, next up is transformation. This sounds like being able to change the relevance scores on the fly without messing with the original data files.
It's exactly right. This is particularly useful when you're bringing together data from different sources that might use different scoring systems, which happens all the time.
Yeah, like one uses 0-3 and another just error 1.
Perfect example. You might want to map all the ones in the binary data set to a 3 to represent a consistent level of strong relevance when you combine them. Trove lets you do this using the score transform option in the config.
How does that work?
You can either set all scores to a specific fixed value or, more flexibly, provide a function. This function takes the existing score and returns a new one based on whatever logic you need.
And it doesn't touch the original TSV or JSON files?
Nope. It happens dynamically during data loading. No changes to your source data.
That's fantastic. A great way to harmonize different data sets for experiments without creating loads of intermediate files.
Exactly.
And then there's selection, the ability to pick and choose specific queries.
Yes. The query subset path option lets you point Trove to a file containing just a list of the query IDs you want to include in your data set.
So you can focus training or evaluation.
Precisely. This could be a simple text file with 1 query ID per line, or maybe even another curl file Trove just extracts the query IDs from it. Really handy for slicing your data.
And finally, combining data sources. This sounds like it could quickly become a headache without the right tools. How does Trove simplify this part?
Trove makes it surprisingly straightforward, actually. You can create a dataset, like a multi-level dataset or binary dataset, by simply providing a list of materialized Krill config objects to its constructor.
Ah, a list of configs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trove will then intelligently merge the data specified by all those configurations.
Okay.
And here's the really powerful part. Because each materialized Krill config in that list can have its own unique set of filtering, transformation, and selection rules.
Oh.
You can process each data source in a very specific way before they get combined.
So you tailor the processing to each source first.
Exactly. The example in the documentation with real and synthetic data is a great illustration of this. They initially tried just combining them and predictably ran into issues because the label scales were different.
Right, the 0-3 versus 0-1 thing again.
Yep. But then they showed how by using MinScore on the real data config to only keep high confidence positives,
yeah,
and maybe score transform on the synthetic data config if needed, they could align everything before merging.
Makes sense.
This ability to treat each source individually before combining is a real game changer for complex data scenarios where you're pulling information from lots of different places.
It really sounds like it takes a lot of the pain out of integrating diverse data sets. Now, what if I have my relevance information stored in some weird custom file format that Trove doesn't natively understand? Am I stuck?
Not at all. Trove is built with extensibility in mind. You can register your own functions to handle custom Krill file formats.
Oh.
Using a special Python decorator called a trove.registerLoader, Querl.
Okay.
These functions you write just need to take the file path as input and maybe the number of processing threads, and they should output a Hugging Face datasets, dataset object.
A specific format for the output dataset.
Yes, it needs three specific columns. Quid for the query ID, DOSID, which should be a list of document IDs for that query, and score, which is a corresponding list of their relevant scores. Insert flips.
Okay, quid, DOSID list, score list.
Right. And if your custom loader function encounters a file it can't handle, maybe it's the wrong format, it should just return. None. Trove will then automatically try any other registered loader functions.
That's it. Can I see which loaders are available?
Yep. There's a function trove.available loaders that lists all the currently registered ones, including yours if you've added one. And the documentation points to an example, trove.data.filereaderfunctions.querlfromcsv, which shows exactly how to build one for CSV files.
That's great to know it's so adaptable. Now, the last piece of this data handling puzzle seems to be the retrieval collator. What's its role in all this?
Right, the retrieval collator. It's a crucial component that acts as a bridge, really. It takes the processed data that comes out of your Trove dataset and prepares it to be fed directly into your dense retrieval model during training or evaluation.
Prepares it how?
This typically involves tasks like converting the text into numerical representations. That's tokenization, using your specific model's vocabulary.
Okay.
And ensuring all the sequences have the same length, which usually means padding shorter sequences.
Right, padding.
And potentially adding special markers like an end of sequence token, which should be important for how some models, like transformers, understand the input structure.
So it gets it model ready.
Exactly. You'll generally create an instance of this retrieval collator configured for your specific model, and then you provide it to Trove's retrieval trainer and retrieval evaluator.
Okay, so Trove gets the data organized and processed using the config. The dataset classes handle loading and applying transformations, and then the retrieval collator gets it into the final shape for the model.
You've got it. That's the pipeline.
Now, let's talk about handling these potentially massive datasets efficiently. Memory can become a real bottleneck, right? How does Trove tackle memory consumption?
Yeah, this is a real strength of Trove, actually. It leverages the power of memory-mapped Apache arrow tables.
Okay, arrow tables.
Which it gets thanks to its tight integration with the Hugging Face datasets library. What this means in practice is that Trove can work with datasets containing potentially millions, even tens or hundreds of millions, of data points.
Oh.
Without needing to load the entire dataset into your computer's RAM all at once.
So how does it work then?
It essentially capes the bulk of the data on disk in that efficient arrow format, and it only brings into memory the specific parts, like specific rows or columns, that it's actively working with at that moment.
Lazy loading.
Kind of, yeah. It significantly reduces the memory footprint, allowing you to work with much larger data sets than you otherwise could, often with minimal performance impact compared to having it all in RAM.
That sounds like a huge advantage for anyone dealing with substantial amounts of data in this field.
Absolutely.
And I also noticed something mentioned about caching. How does that play into efficiency?
Right, caching. So to further boost efficiency, especially when you're running experiments repeatedly, Trove offers caching mechanisms.
Okay.
After you've initially processed your data using a specific materialized CRL config, which might involve complex filtering or transformations that take some time the first time, you can use functions like export download train cache and export download full cache to save the intermediate process results to disk.
So it saves the processed data set.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It saves the processed arrow table. This can dramatically reduce both the memory overhead and the processing time in subsequent runs if you're using the exact same data and the exact same processing steps defined in your config.
Does it know if things have changed?
Trove is smart enough to detect if the underlying data files have been modified or if your materialized CRL config definition has changed. It will only rebuild the cache if necessary.
That's clever. Avoid stale caches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These cache files are typically stored in a standard Hugging Face cache directory on your system, usually under home.cachehuggingfaceassets.
Yeah.
So it's good practice to maybe clean that out occasionally if you, you no longer need a particular cache, especially after some really large training runs, because they can take up space.
Okay, good tip. So process it once, cache it, and then reloading is super fast as long as the underlying data and processing remain the same.
Yep.
That makes perfect sense for iterative experimentation, tweaking models without reprocessing data constantly.
Precisely.
Now, we spent a lot of time talking about getting the data ready. How does all of this fit into the bigger picture of actually training and using these dense retrieval models? Where does Trove hand off?
Yeah, great question. Trove is really designed to be a seamless part of the broader Hugging Face ecosystem, particularly for retrieval tasks.
Okay.
The data sets you create and process with Trove, whether they are multi-level data set or binary data set, are directly compatible with Trove's own retrieval trainer for the model training part and the retrieval evaluator for assessing their performance, which can handle things like calculating standard IR metrics and even integrating with advanced techniques like the hard negative mining we mentioned earlier.
So it connects directly to the next steps.
Exactly. Trove handles the complexities of data loading, manipulation, and preparation, allowing you to focus more on the core aspects of your dense retrieval system. Things like the model architecture itself, the training parameters, the loss functions, and the specific evaluation metrics you care about.
So it's the foundation.
Think of Trove as the solid and crucially adaptable data foundation upon which you build an experiment with your dense retrieval system.
So it truly streamlines the entire workflow, doesn't it? From handling messy and varied data sources and formats to efficiently managing potentially huge data sets and then smoothly integrating with the crucial training and evaluation stages. It sounds like it could be a significant time saver.
It really can be.
And also really improve the reproducibility of experiments, right?
Yeah.
Because you're version controlling the configuration rather than trying to manage countless pre-processed data files.
That's a key benefit. Definitely. You define exactly how you want your data to be prepared in that config file. Maybe check that into Git. And Trove handles the technical complexities behind the scenes. It lets you iterate quickly and effectively on your ideas and experiments.
Which is what research is all about.
Exactly. Especially in a fast-moving field like information retrieval.
This has been a really insightful deep dive into Trove. It definitely sounds like a powerful toolkit for anyone working with dense retrieval models or even just thinking about getting into it.
Yeah, I think it lowers the barrier to entry quite a bit on the data side.
So here's something to think about. With the ability to dynamically combine and transform your data sources in the way Trove enables, what new connections and insights could you uncover in your own field of interest? What previously separate data sets could you now bring together, maybe harmonize their labels, and forge entirely new understandings?
That's a great thought. And for those of you who want to dive even deeper and actually try this out, I highly recommend checking out the official Trove documentation.
Where can people find that?
And also, the wealth of examples available on their GitHub repository. You can find it at github.com/researchtrove.
Okay, github.com/researchtrove.
Yeah, BATS Research, B-A-T-S Research. It's really the best place to get hands-on and explore all the features we've discussed today.